RV Family Travel Atlas is sponsored by Jayco. Since 1968, Jayco has been providing a way for generations of families to create lasting memories. For more information, visit your local Jayco dealer or head on over to jayco.com.
And by the Thetford Corporation, the industry expert and innovation leader, Thetford has made RV travel a more pleasant experience for over 50 years. To see a complete lineup of products, visit thetford.com.
And by Cabela's. Cabela's has everything you need to get your family into the great outdoors. Visit Cabela's.com and make sure your next great camping trip is one for the record books.
And by Highway West Vacations. Highway West invites you to connect with family, friends, and nature as you experience the beauty and adventure found in the great American West. Visit HighwayWestVacations.com to start planning your next great trip today.
And by Outdoorsy. The largest and most trusted rental marketplace, Outdoorsy is making it safe and easy to make money renting your RV with full insurance, roadside assistance, secure payments, and real people ratings and reviews. Visit Outdoorsy.co to find a cool RV to rent or see how much money you can earn renting your own RV.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to this week's episode of RV Family Travel Atlas. I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Jeremy.
And we write about RV and family travel with our three boys, Theo, Max, and Wes.
You can read about our adventures at RVFamilyTravelAtlas.com, and you can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and Instagram.
On this week's episode of RV Family Travel Atlas, we are talking about the process of buying a used pop-up camper. For many families, this is the easiest and most affordable way to enter into the RV lifestyle, but inexperienced shoppers can make a lot of mistakes.
So we invited Larissa Richardson, aka the Pop-Up Princess, to walk us through the exciting yet overwhelming hunt for the perfect used pop-up camper. She'll give us advice on everything from deciding on features to inspecting a unit.
You might think that finding a great used pop-up camper is as likely as winning the lottery, but we know that a little bit of information and a lot of patience will make your RV dreams come true. You are listening to episode number 143, Tips for Buying a Used Pop-Up Camper with the Pop-Up Princess.
Before we head into our feature topic, tips for buying a used pop-up camper with the Pop-Up Princess, it's time for our RVFTA News Roundup, which is sponsored by our friends at Outdoorsy.
Yeah, peer-to-peer RV rentals have grown in popularity over the last few years. So what makes Outdoorsy different from all the other options out there?
Are you asking me?
Yeah, I want to know.
I think I can answer this question.
Okay, what is
it? I think it might be that $1 million insurance policy.
That's definitely at the tip top of the list. Outdoorsy is committed to peace of mind for both renters and owners. And one of the pieces of that puzzle is that $1 million insurance policy that covers both renters and owners. What else?
They do a DMV check
like
on
a quiz.
All drivers.
Yes.
Because who wants a crazy driver to rent
yep.
your RV?
DMV check. All right. What else? I'm quizzing you.
They also offer pay-as-you-go roadside assistance. I'm doing pretty good here.
You are.
I'm not even looking at the ad copy.
You're not. Roadside assistance. Yes, that's a really big deal because whether you're an owner or a renter, you want that rig taken care of if something goes wrong on the road.
Do you know what else I like about them?
All right. What else?
They're creating a community of RVers.
They are.
They have a cool website. They have a blog. They're doing it right.
Yeah, they even have a private Facebook group that is only for owners.
Shh. Are we supposed to tell people that?
Yeah, because they should know they get access to it when they become an owner with Outdoorsy. They get to go into this Facebook group with other owners who share tips and tricks for making this like a really successful part of their RV lifestyle.
Now, there's a 93% of the reviews are 5-star reviews as well. That's a lot of 5-star reviews.
Right, because we all know something can be really good and there's still cranks out
That's
there.
That's like our podcast reviews on iTunes,
is.
Like about 93%
are
5-star. So
yeah.
We're like about the same
yeah,
as Outdoorsy.
Yeah, that's right. That's why we're feeling Outdoorsy so much. All right, so if you want to learn more about the Outdoorsy difference, you can visit, listen carefully, outdoorsy.co/list-your Airbnb-RV, or you can just follow the link in our show notes for this episode. Click right through
now, that. On our Facebook group, people got chatting about Outdoorsy a little bit, and we have some members of our Facebook group who do rent on Outdoorsy already, and they chimed in a little bit, so we got some good feedback. What did what did people say?
I think that when we were looking into this RV sharing, you know, business model that's growing, I think that this quote represented the number one reason why we find this interesting. And this woman said over on our Facebook group, quote, "It's been a good experience and a steady stream of income. We're not getting rich, but it does cover the camper payments for sure."
Well, who is getting rich these days, really? I mean, that's the question. No, that is intriguing.
That is it.
Because, you know, to me, if you can cover your payment, you're getting a free RV in a sense. I mean,
that's what piqued our interest immediately. It was like, hey, this can be a way to pay for your RV if
and
you want
to
really, do
it. Obviously, depending on your payment, if you have a $500,000 motorhome, this wouldn't work. But for most of us, you could probably rent out the RV one weekend a month and pay that payment pretty easily.
I think it's a good option for folks who want to.
And you know what
in.
A lot of people
and
say?
Outdoorsy is the company to do it with. I believe that.
You know what a lot of people say too on our forum or a group and all that stuff. A lot of people out there have interest in buying a second RV, maybe a really cost-efficient second smaller RV, and using it as a rental, which I think is a great idea.
Some people like Jeremy.
Some people like me.
Some people like
you. Who pay for that second RV right away. Now, next in the news roundup, we're heading back to Cabela's for Family Adventure Days, Saturday, June 10th. We'll be there almost all day. Mm-hmm. We have some podcast listeners who are camping nearby. They're going to come by and visit. We really, really enjoyed meeting people at Ladies Day Out. We had a really nice crowd of podcast listeners come out, and it really meant a lot to us to meet you, to say hello, to get that support from you, and to see you buying some cool stuff.
Now, this also is a family event. Like, we were at the Camping Classic, which focused on sort of camping activities and seminars, and then we were at Ladies Day Out, which was more women-centered. Now, this is family-centered. Like, this is fun activities.
Bring
like climbing
the kids.
Yes, exactly. This is lots of stuff for them. Now, I also want to say that we're bringing, like, something else.
Or we're going to bring the toy hauler.
Yeah.
Because Ron, who I want to be like my adopted dad.
So sweet.
Who we work with at Cabela's there at the Hamburg store is like, we want you guys to bring the RV. So we're going to be like set up in the RV out in the parking lot.
So we're basically going to have like our campsite set up there at Cabela's. So if you want to see the new Octane toy hauler, then you can
we'll
stop by and
see it. We'll give you a tour.
It. Yeah. Yeah.
We'll make sure it's clean that day.
You'll make
now,
the bed.
You've turned this week sort of into the pop-up camper week. You've been putting up some old posts and you've been putting up some good pop-up content. So what do you got going on?
There's a reason for that. This is the time of year where push comes to shove, where a lot of dreamers that have been visiting RV shows and thinking about buying their first camper all winter long are now really coming to the point where they're going to decide whether they actually buy a camper or not this summer, right? Is it going to be one more camping season where they do not pull the trigger and buy a camper? And so what I was doing was sharing some of our older posts that kind of addressed that, right? Because I think that so many of our listeners really do come to the table thinking about buying a pop-up camper, just like we did. And for
in fact,
all of,
we thought of nothing else. We did not consider a hybrid or a travel trailer. It was just like a pop-up camper was the only kind of RV we even knew about.
Now, for all of our talk about the statistics about people moving on from a pop-up so quickly, that does not change the fact that we truly believe that a used pop-up camper is the absolute best way to get into the RV quickly and affordably. Like, it just, it's a great way to do it.
There's a thriving secondhand market of pop-up campers out there, too, because the industry does not sell many pop-up campers right now, but there's a lot of them for sale on Craigslist, a lot of used ones. So
if this is you and you're turning it over, I just wanted to say that the second podcast that we ever recorded, episode number two, was the pros and cons of a pop-up camper.
Wasn't a bad podcast either for number two.
Yeah, right. I mean, come on. We didn't know what we were doing. All right. And then another time we kind of like redid it a little later, a little bit differently.
It was a different episode. Ode to a pop-up camper
number
was episode 24. That was really more in response to people saying like, hey, you guys didn't show much love for the pop-up camper. So we kind of came back and said, well, yeah, there's a lot of things
there's
we do
love,
love about them.
For that pop-up camper. And then also I shared the blog post that you wrote a few years ago.
I forgot I had even written that blog post.
And it was just it's called Thinking About Buying a Pop-Up Camper, Consider This. And it really is that push. It's just saying that this is an affordable way to make family connections and build sort of a lifestyle for your family that you will never regret. And you know what? Even if you hate it, you've hardly put any skin in the game. I don't think you said that in the article, but I'm saying that now. But you know what? Somebody wrote when I shared that on our Facebook group, I wanted to read the comment that somebody...
From Matt, who recently bought a very lightly used... Was it lightly used?
I think it was like an older model that nobody had used once or twice.
Yeah, it was either... It wasn't brand new, though, I
don't think. Was last year. Yeah. So Matt wrote about your blog post. All great points. I think the most important factor brought up, though, is the point about spending more time as a family. I can say in our very short ownership of our pop-up, in our few trips, we've already experienced great bonds and memories. No matter what, I'll never regret the decision to power through our goal to first buy a tow vehicle, then a pop-up, while our son was young enough to forge these lifelong memories with us. It's the best decision we've made for the benefit of our family, and I truly think it's made us stronger already.
And Matt's right. The overarching point is get the RV, right? Because you're going to love it. Your family's going to love it. And your kids are going to love it. Don't stress so much about getting the perfect one or getting the right one. Just dive in.
Yeah.
And even if you do sell it and a year later, who cares? You know, just get into the lifestyle. I don't regret for one second that we, in a sense, overpaid for our first pop-up camper. I don't regret it. I look back at those camping trips joyful memories.
I wish we had somebody telling us not to do that, like we're telling people not to do that.
Well, there was no RVFJ podcast then, and we decided to be the change that we wanted to see in the world.
But you know what? So we invited one of our favorite people onto the show, Larissa Richardson, the pop-up princess, because she truly is an expert on this stuff. Not only has she gone through with her own pop-up with her family, but she is such an expert at seeing what other, because everybody sends her their pop-up stories and tells her what they did. And so she just like has experience in what people deal with.
Incredibly knowledgeable. She's living this. It's the real deal. Truly an expert. And she's entertaining and nice and fun and interesting.
Love her.
So you want to stay tuned. We're going to come back with Larissa Richardson, aka the pop-up princess. And she's going to give us some really awesome tips for buying a used pop-up camper. Stay tuned.
We're going to pop-up school.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. We are incredibly excited to be here with Larissa Richardson, aka the pop-up princess. All right, and we're going to be talking all about best tips, best practices for buying a used pop-up camper. But first, we have a sponsored message from our friends at Jayco, and they happen to make pop-up campers.
They do. So if you're scared of the used pop-up by the time you're done listening to this episode, you can go and check out the 2017 J-Sport camping trailer, which makes getting away your way a breeze. With 5 lifetime warranties, including the lifter system, bed platforms, floor, roof, and frame, the J-Sport is a camping trailer you can count on. Visit your local Jayco dealer or jayco.com for more information. Jayco, generations of family fun. There's only one person to have on your show when you want to talk about used pop-ups.
No, it's not like we had a list and we talked through it.
There's one person and it is you, Larissa. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Oh, we are so happy to have you back on. You are always a hit. People are so passionate about what you do.
And it was hard to get to Larissa through her agent. You know, we had to really work
a lot of requests for her. Larissa, why don't you just tell people a little bit about what you do over there on the Pop-Up Princess blog for those who are unfamiliar with your work?
So the blog is about all things pop-up camper. I started camping in a tent with my kids about 3 or 4 years ago, and it just got to be so much work, but we had a blast. So we bought a used pop-up camper within, honestly, months of returning and started fixing it up and blogged about it and realized that there were a lot of people that wanted to do the same thing. So we kind of have a lot of tutorials on there, but we also feature a lot of reader pop-up camper remodels. It actually is a lot of fun to do a family project together and buy a cheap pop-up camper, fix it up, and take a trip. And we're not the only one apparently that likes to do that. So,
and you've really tapped into something. It's fascinating because there's not a lot of new pop-up campers being sold in the RV industry, but there is a really hot market in secondhand pop-up campers on Craigslist.
There really is.
There really is. There's this whole world out there of the used pop-up camper. So we're so excited to dive in and have you guide us through the best way to buy one.
Now, much of the information that we're going to be talking about today with Larissa, she covered so well in a blog post over on thepopupprincess.com that was all about finding the perfect used pop-up camper. So we're going to link to that post in our show notes so you can go over if you need to hear anything again, read anything.
I think calling it a blog post is almost unfair. It's like an online tutorial, but you get it for
free. Guide, yeah.
You could sell that thing.
All right. So and this is one of the reasons why we love Larissa. The very first thing she talked about in that post is finding out what your tow vehicle can actually pull. Larissa, what do our listeners need to know before they even start shopping for a pop-up camper?
Well, I think determining how much your vehicle can tow is probably the very first step in looking at a pop-up camper. A lot of people think that they are kind of glorified tents on wheels, but that doesn't necessarily mean they're super light and any vehicle can tow them. We actually lucked out. I was a little naive when we first bought our pop-up camper, and I didn't look into that as much as I should have. Now that I know a little bit more, I realize how lucky we are. Our pop-up camper is on the light side. It's only about 1,800 pounds, and our Honda Pilot can tow about 3,500 pounds. So we're well within our limits there. But a lot of people think that they can just buy the biggest pop-up camper on the market and hook it up to their minivan and they should be good to go. And that's not necessarily the case.
Because some of the pop-ups with the whole wet bath and everything like that can actually get much heavier than that 1,500 pounds.
Yeah, we were told when we first purchased a pop-up camper that 1,000 pounds clearance was pretty good for a pop-up camper. Now, that rule doesn't work if you have a fifth wheel that weighs, 10,000 pounds. Not at all. But for a pop-up camper, that's not a bad rule. And also, you want to check places like RVSafety.org. You want to go to Mark Polk's RV Education 101 or Trailer Life as a towing guide that's going to help you find out what your vehicle can tow and how heavy all the different campers are. But you want to have clearance there, right, Larissa? Because you're going to be packing all your gear.
And you're probably going to be packing a little bit more gear. Like for us, for example, we have to pack a stove that we use outside, a big camp stove. We've got all of our camp chairs, things like that. So you want to make sure that you've got room for passengers and for all your gear. And you want to make sure that you're looking at a pop-up camper that is not too heavy for your vehicle. Don't get your heart set on one of those big high wall campers with the microwaves if you've only got a minivan that can tow 2,700 pounds.
Right. So it's not a default. If you have a minivan, it doesn't automatically mean that you can tow any
pop-up. Well, you're in a stinky position then, because you either got to upgrade the car, which that's not always pleasant to do, and that can often cost a lot of money, or you got to get rid of the camper that you just bought.
Right.
Exactly. So, but there are some smaller campers. There are some that are under 900 pounds, but if you've got a big family, that might not be an option for you.
All right. So just know what your limitations are so that when you're shopping, you're not going to be disappointed by getting your heart set on one that isn't going to be a good match for the tow vehicle you have.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, you also suggested in your article that people need to decide on what features are important to them. Like, what kinds of features are you talking about?
Well, for us, for me in particular, I was tired of taking all of our stuff down to the campground bathrooms every time we needed to get ready for bed and get up in the morning and get teenagers ready. So I had to have a sink and I had to have hot water. So I immediately discounted anything that had a pump sink in it because I needed that hot water tank and I needed a big freshwater tank so that when we were out boondocking, we had a way to get ready without going to the campground bathrooms.
That narrows down your search, which in a sense is helpful, but then it also makes it a bit harder to find what you want, right?
Yeah, absolutely. But there were other things that I was willing to negotiate on. Like, I didn't necessarily need a bathroom toilet, like a cassette toilet in my camper. We were okay using the facilities because my kids were older and I didn't so much worry about having to get up in the middle of the night with them. But if you've got little ones, that might be a non-negotiable for you.
What other kind of features might be important for some people and not really on the radar for others?
Well, determine what kind of camping that you do. We don't like to do any camping. We're from Arizona, so we get our share of hot weather all the time. So when we go out, we like to go somewhere where it's cool enough that we don't need an AC unit. But if you're doing camping in, like, say, Florida, where it doesn't really cool down at all in the summer, you may need that AC unit. You may need a heater if you're planning places like Yellowstone or somewhere where it's going to get a little cooler at night. That heater might be a non-negotiable to you.
And you found out the hard way on that one, didn't you?
We did. We didn't think that we were going to need a heater. We thought we were going to just go, well, I had this idealistic idea in my mind that everything was going to be perfect anyway, but we we went to Yellowstone, and it actually, by the time we got there, it was still, there was still snow on the ground. It was still in the 30s during the day, so at night it was considerably colder, and that heater really saved us, and it wasn't something that we actually went in looking for, but we're so glad that it happened to be a feature of the camper.
All right, so sinks, toilets, air conditioner, heat, and then also probably bed space, right? You have older kids, you know, they're teenagers. Mm-hmm. So do they need, like, their separate beds?
You know, we, most dinette areas, the dining areas in pop-up campers convert to beds. So that worked out really well for the, for us. My son sleeps there and the girls share a bed. So that works out great. But if you have little ones and you think you're going to be doing a lot of dining inside, you might want to look for something that has like the convertible couch so you can have a dedicated dinette all the time without turning it into a bed every night.
Right. Some of those have those little jackknife sofas. Ours did. Our first
pop-up.
We
put our
did,
dinette yeah. down every night, and then we put the cribs on top of the dinette, and I bungeed them in.
That's how we did it.
One of the great regrets of my life is that I never took a photo of those.
You know, a lot of people do that, or some I've even heard just take out the dinette altogether and put the pack and plays there.
Yeah, we probably should have, because really those, it was a permanent nursery for, you know, two camping
seasons. We did
use
it during the day, but it became an irritation putting the dinette up and down. So you certainly want to be thinking about how you're going to be using the dinette and if you're going to get sick of doing that.
The dinette, and also storage space is a big one too, because those jackknife sofas are really great, but they eliminate, we've got a long storage cabinet in ours in place of a jackknife sofa. And I love that because I can store all my cooking utensils. I can store like bathroom supplies. I can store everything that we need in that long cabinet. But if you trade that out for a couch, you may not have storage space. So you got to, I always advise people to make a list of needs and wants when they're envisioning their pop-up camper and what things are non-negotiables and what things could you live without.
Yeah, and the couch is such an important point, Larissa, because it looks nice, right? When you're shopping, you're like, oh, look at that, a nice spot to sit. But you really need to think, do I want to be sitting on a couch in my pop-up? Do I want my kids to be sitting on a couch in the pop-up?
Yeah.
Like, it just is probably not a sort of event that's going
to
happen.
Frankly, I really loved the sofa, the jackknife sofa in the pop-up, and it was comfortable, and I did like to sit there and read. And that,
right.
It didn't happen that often, but I enjoyed it when I got
but
the chance to.
Having that inside space. So it may be important for some people. It may not be. I would prefer storage. I think I'm with Larissa on that. But I didn't think about that ahead of time. I thought about, oh, look, more sleeping space for all the people, you know, that are going to be sleeping in our pop-up camper. Now, the next point that you talk about in the article was developing a budget. And I think that this is really tricky because a lot of people that are looking at a used pop-up camper, they are first-time RV purchasers. And they don't really even know what anything costs at all. You know, you're kind of going into it like, I want to buy one, but I don't even have an idea of where I should start. So what are some of the tips that, you know, you have for people about where they can find a comfortable price point?
You know, pop-up campers come in all price ranges, and you can find something for as cheap as like $500, and they can go all the way up to, if you're purchasing new, like $15,000, $20,000. So I usually tell people to spend a couple of weeks at the least looking at those same campers that they have their eye on Craigslist for a while. Kind of see what campers are going for in your area. They're not going to always be the same. I think we're kind of high in Arizona, especially when compared to like Michigan. I've heard from readers that get the same pop-up I'm looking at in Michigan for like $1,000 less. So You need to know what your area.
Larissa, that's so interesting. We were in Michigan last summer, and I kept saying to Stephanie, there's an RV in every driveway in this state. And you got to remember that RVs are made in Indiana. So there are going to be a lot more of them in the Midwest to some degree. So you're right. I think the prices should be lower. And I bet the prices you're looking at are similar to the prices we would look at in New Jersey.
And California, I find, is even more expensive. So you have to know your area and how much pop-up campers are going for in your area. And the best way to do that is to look at some dealerships, look at Craigslist, OfferUp, places like that, and just kind of get a feel for that. Because when you see how much that perfect camper in your mind is going for, you may adjust your needs and wants.
Right.
I also think at a certain point, if you're looking at a used pop-up camper that's maybe $4,000, $5,000, $6,000, I think you got to start looking at new ones because the new ones aren't that much more in every case. So I think, yeah, you know, when you're looking at used ones, you want to be looking at, say, that $500 to maybe $3,000 range. I'm nervous. I'm wondering if the pop-up princess agrees.
You know what? The ones I look at the dealership are always, I'm drawn to the ones that are like $8,000 and $10,000. So I find that I can get those a lot cheaper on Craigslist after a few years. So I sort of have the soft spot for Craigslist. The dealers I feel a little less comfortable with. But I have heard from some readers who have gotten fabulous deals at their local RV dealership, and they've come with warranties. So there's a trade-off there too.
Now, I just think that that's really great advice, Larissa, to just look online at pricing over a period of time, because then you're not going to say, well, I saw this one pop up for $800 and you want $3,000 for this. That doesn't make sense. Like, you need to see the range, and there are going to be outliers. You know, I happened to be stalking this one particular used pop up. I'm admitting it. And it was on like the Facebook marketplace, and it was not a reasonable price. And, you know, I was like offering him a lower price, and he's like, I'm not coming down. I'm like, okay, well, let me know if you want to. Cause I knew just from seeing enough, you know, prices, I knew that he was overpriced. I could compare that to maybe five other ones in my head that I've seen similar that were lower than his.
And another, it's not like the Bible of pricing, but another good resource is the NADA guides, because you can kind of get a feel for what that camper is worth in your particular area by looking at the NADA guides. And then you can sort of come to the seller and say, look, your camper only prices out for this much and you're asking $2,000 more.
Right. So have your information on hand, and the NADA guides are online. So they're pretty easy to.
And always negotiate. Always do what Stephanie did. Throw out that lower price, see what happens, go from there.
And you can't really compare. I mean, you can to a degree, but you can't really compare one camper to another without going and looking at that camper and seeing what's actually wrong with it. Because a lot of times people aren't completely honest on Craigslist, and you'll see this fabulous price, and they're really just trying to draw buyers there. And once you get there, you realize that, hey, it needs new canvas, hey, it needs new tires, all these other things. So it's a good starting place, but you can't say to a seller, I saw this Coleman, Utah for $1,000 less last week from another seller, because you don't really know what's wrong.
Yeah, it could have been used a million times more, and put that wear and tear on a pop-up is really, really important, which kind of leads us into our next topic with your article, where you said, you know, you really talked about the different kinds of work that you may have to do on a used pop-up, and like some of the fixes that may be pretty simple and no big deal, and some of the fixes that may be a lot more complicated and, let's face it, expensive.
Yeah, absolutely. There are three major, major issues that you want to watch for. And the first, I would say, is roof issues. There are a couple different kinds of roofs. And the first one is the standard, you know, it's got the plywood inside and it's covered with aluminum or whatever. It's got a couple seams that have been caulked, and there's either wallpaper or fiberboard or something on the inside. And those are pretty prone to interior water damage. So you kind of want to watch for that when you're looking at going to look at a pop-up camper. Make sure that there's no water damage to the roof, kind of press on the inside of the roof, look for soft spots, look for maybe water rings.
Paint where they painted over water.
Yeah. You want to check the caulking on the outside and make sure the seams were well maintained and that they're not, there's not like an ungodly amount of caulk trying to hide a deeper issue.
Go look at it after it's rained. My grandfather used to always say, when you're home shopping, either go when it's raining or go after a big rainstorm. You learn everything you need to know about a house. So I mean, that might work, right? Like, wait till it rains and say, hey, let me come over and look at the pop-up camper.
That's actually a good idea. I've also heard that you should have the seller set it up and then take the hose and kind of simulate a rainstorm over the top of the camper. Like,
oh, they'll
obvious.
Love
and
that.
And at that point, you become so annoying that the price is going to drop anyway. They're going to be like, okay, take this thing away from me. I'll give it to you for $1,000.
As long as you go.
I love the idea of showing up at somebody's house, like, I'm going to run your hose over
I'm
this.
I'm going to use
okay?
your hose.
But you know what?
You can
if
deal
you're
with
paying
it.
Upwards of $4,000, that's a big purchase.
That's true.
So if the seller is asking for something like $4,000 or $5,000, I don't think it's unreasonable to make sure that there aren't any leaks.
You're absolutely right. It is not unreasonable, Larissa. So we need to look at the roof. What else do we need to look at?
Along the same lines as the roof is, there's another type of roof called a Coleman ABS roof. And Coleman used this in the 90s. It was a one-piece roof. And it's a foam roof that's covered with ABS plastic and on both sides, on both the top and the bottom. And those are pretty prone to when they got left out in the UV rays, they're pretty prone to cracking and sagging. So my own camper has an ABS roof, and I don't think they're deal breakers, but you just have to make sure that they were well cared for. If there's cracking and delamination and the roof has started to sag from weight, you'll probably want to steer clear of those, because those are considerably more difficult to repair than just a few cracks. If you've got just a few cracks like we did, you can drill those out, repair the cracks, and cover the roof with a bed liner type material, and you should be good to go. But something that has considerable sag from maybe an AC unit or the longer, bigger trailers had some sag before the Coleman started adding braces, I might steer clear of those, because Coleman went out of business in the pop-up camper industry. They no longer make any parts or braces or replacement roofs for those campers. So finding braces to repair those or getting a replacement roof is not an easy fix. So if you come across a Coleman that has a few cracks, it's one of the smaller units, maybe it didn't have an AC unit on it, there's nothing wrong with going for a Coleman ABS roof in that instance. But if you come across one that is in pretty bad shape, it's going to cost you a significant amount to repair it, and that might be where you steer clear of that
and
particular
it's
type
not
of roof.
Unreasonable to bring your kids and have them climb up on the roof and jump up and down a little bit just to test that sag, right? I mean, if you're at that $4,000 price point, it's like, I'm going to do what I want to your trailer.
See, you've empowered Jeremy, Larissa. Now he's like, I'm spending
$4,000. I'm a firm believer in driving people crazy when you're like shopping for something. I think it gets the price down
He
fast.
Brings the kids when he car shops, so.
But I do too, actually. It makes things go a lot faster on the salesman's part.
Yep.
I'm like, oh, I'm sorry, they spilled chocolate milk in the backseat during the test drive? Well, all right, take $1,000 off the truck.
So are there anything, you know, is there anything else that you feel like is like sort of a, you know, obviously you're not saying a deal breaker because anything can be fixed, but something that is going to be a more expensive fix than most people are probably prepared for?
You know, it's always the top and the bottom of the camper. And I would say first check the roof, second check the bottom. And what we did when we went and got our when we went and looked at our camper is we walked the floor to make sure there were no soft spots, because water damage can happen down there as well. If there was a leak in the plumbing at any point, it could have damaged the subfloor. You could have a rotten subfloor, and that's going to be a lot to fix as well. It could be something as simple as just one little section of the particle board has gotten water damaged from a leak, and you could take, you know, a weekend to cut out that section and replace it and then refloor the camper, and it's not that big of a deal. Or it could be something like the whole floor has rotted out and you have to take the trailer down from the ground up, replace the subfloor, and then rebuild the camper. And I've seen that done as well. And it's not an easy job. So I would say the second most important thing is to walk the floor, make sure that there are no soft spots or low spots that could indicate there was damage to the subfloor, and then get under the camper as well and look for damage, water damage to the underneath of the camper.
Now, Larissa, there's also easy fixes. Like, and I think that it's important that we encourage people, just like when you're house shopping and your realtor is like, do not look at the carpet. Like, your carpet is not important, you know? Like, that's, we need to look bigger than that. I think the same is true when you're looking at these used pop-up campers. Can you just describe what you think are, like, the easiest fixes that people just need to get over and know, like, hey, you don't have to deal with that. It'll be fine. You can have a quick, you know, tutorial on the Pop-Up Princess website and move on.
So I think that Canvas can be either a really difficult fix or a really easy fix. It's kind of, it depends on how bad the damage is to the canvas. Canvas isn't necessarily a deal breaker. If there is a rip in the canvas, it's pretty easy to either to fix that yourself with a patch or to take that section of canvas off and take it to a repair shop and have that repaired for fairly cheaply. For example, our canvas had there's a rubber seal that's attached to the side of the canvas, and then it feeds in through a track at the top of the camper, and that's how the canvas is attached to the camper. It had ripped all the way across one side of the camper, and I thought we were going to have to buy completely new canvas for this camper. What we ended up doing is taking that section off and taking it into our local tent and awning shop. They replaced that rubber seal. It was a $30 fix, and our canvas was like brand new again.
All right. Anything else that's easier than people might think?
Flooring. Mm-hmm. Flooring can be difficult or it can be really easy. It kind of depends on how big you want to make the project. But if the flooring is ripped, most pop-up campers come with that ugly 90s linoleum flooring.
And they still do.
And the new ones.
The old ones did and the new ones do.
So that stuff yellows really bad. Ours looked awful when we bought it. There were holes in it. It's not, I don't know, it's just not the best flooring for a camper, I don't think. Because if you're dragging a stove in or, you know, camp chairs or whatever, it drags across. We had holes in the floor. We had it yellowed. But that's really not a difficult fix. It can be if you decide to rip everything out and put in a whole new floor, or you can just get some of that adhesive plank vinyl from like Lowe's or Home Depot and just lay it in the areas that are seen, just lay around the cabinets and cover up that unsightly floor. So that wouldn't be a deal breaker, I don't think, at all either.
And that doesn't sound too expensive either, right?
No, it can be done really cheaply. Like, I think someone was saying they got the planks individually at Lowe's for less than a dollar a piece, and they used like 20 planks.
You know what, Larissa, and I want to mention it now before I forget. I'm going to link to the last time you were on the RVFTA podcast. We talked about making over your RV. And that, if anybody right now is listening and wondering more about those easy fixes, you talked about, I mean, painting the cabinets and doing the upholstery and a lot of cool things like that. So I'll link to that episode in the show notes for anybody that didn't hear it that's listening now.
Awesome.
Now, we did that out of chronological order. We should have done this episode first.
I know, so. Right. We should have done this and then
we were building suspense.
All right. That was a great conversation with the Pop-Up Princess about all of the things that you should think about when you are trying to track down the perfect used pop-up camper for your family. Now, something else that Larissa did in this used pop-up camper article was include a checklist of all the things you need to check when you actually go to purchase the pop-up camper that you have your heart set on. Now you found it, you're looking at it. So stay tuned. We are going to be back in a minute and we're going to talk about your used pop-up camper checklist.
Stay tuned. Yeah. Welcome back to the show, everybody. We are here again with Larissa Richardson, a.k.a. the Pop-Up Princess. She just gave us a great segment about all the things we got to think about when we want to buy a used pop-up camper. Now we're going to run through her checklist, which at the moment is available for free on her website. I think she needs to start selling it.
99 cents, Larissa.
Okay, so go grab that thing now before it becomes part of a $49.99 web tutorial. Okay? But first, we have a sponsored message from our friends at Highway West Vacations.
Highway West Vacations offers luxury accommodations throughout the western United States. Stay in your own RV or tent, a rented vintage trailer, Airstream cabin, or cottage. Each resort offers unique spaces and stylish accommodations located in dreamy destinations in Utah, California, Washington, and Oregon. Come explore the great outdoors and experience a new way of vacationing as you travel the Highway West. Visit highwaywestvacations.com to start planning today. And unfortunately, Larissa Richardson's going west this summer also, but we're not going to be able to meet up. We're like crossing in
the
night.
Oh, we've got to work on that after the show.
Oh, it's so sad.
We'll talk about that.
So sad. But it is the Pacific Northwest. You actually reviewed a campground in Oregon for us on Campground of the Week. It is one of your favorite places to travel also, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah.
We love it there.
Oh, so do we. We can't wait to go back. So before we get too off topic, dreaming about the West, let's get back on topic with our used pop-up camper checklist. Now, you already talked about how important it was to check the roof and to check the floor. But there's a lot of other things that people need to do before they, you know, slap down that $1,000 to that person that they went and met off of Craigslist and drive away with a pop-up camper. So let's just talk about some of the most important things that people should do and not just get kind of caught up in the moment and say, I'll take it, you know, and drive off. So,
and Larissa, you were so patient too in that blog post. I mean, you really waited to make a smart decision and it sounds like you were really happy with it. So this is the real deal here.
We looked like a year. And I was so antsy. I thought I needed to have every single pop-up camper that we went and looked at. But honestly, as we started looking more, my list of needs and wants started to change as well. For example, when we went and looked at the first pop-up camper that I thought was the one, I realized that the sink was actually a fold-down galley. So it flipped over when you fold down the camper, and if you had any water in the pipes or the sink or whatever, that water would come out onto the floor. So after a couple of years or a couple months of looking, I realized I didn't really want that kind of sink, but I didn't know it at the time. I wanted a swing down galley so that whatever was in the sink stayed in the sink. So that's why it was a good idea for me to take my time in looking. We also ended up getting a much better price by being patient.
Now, okay, let's also say here that what you're pointing out about looking at a lot of different campers can be really tough if you're looking at used ones, right? Because you might have to drive that half hour.
Yeah.
So maybe something that people could do is, even if you know you want a used pop-up camper, still go to an RV show with pop-up campers that are going to be there. Go to your local dealership with pop-up campers so that you can look at those different floor plans and layouts and features and get an idea for what you want without driving to 5 million houses to do it.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. We don't have a whole lot of RV shows in our area, so that was a little tough for me. But we did go to dealerships so that I could kind of check things out and see what I liked. And owners sometimes get a little bit irritated if you're doing that to them all the time. if you're showing up and asking them to set up a pop-up camper, which is sometimes not an easy feat, just so you can see if you like a swing down galley or a fold over galley. So yeah, I wouldn't recommend going to see a camper that you know you don't want just to see things, certain features, because that's kind of inconsiderate. But if you can get to an RV show or an RV dealership, that's a great way to check those things out. But I will say that the camper that we ended up with was not one that I originally thought that we should even go look at. We went kind of as a last resort because I was getting desperate and the price was so good and I thought, I'll just take anything. And so we went down there and I actually found that it had a lot of features that I didn't think I wanted that I really, really like. So don't discount a camper that may have a few of the features but not everything, because some things are easy to add. Things like a porta potty are easy to add after the fact. So
Right. So stay true to your needs, but don't be inflexible. Like,
and keep
learn
an open
and grow.
Mind.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what other systems do people really need to make sure are tested before they pay for the RV?
You know, you should really check the lift system. Make sure that it's in order and that it works correctly. Have the owner show you how to open the camper. Ask them how they've maintained the lift system, if they've regularly greased the system over the years. Get under the camper and inspect the frame and the lift cables. Make sure that everything's in good working order. A lot of times you'll find campers on Craigslist that say, oh, it just needs a cable. That's not always an easy fix. So if you're not a handy person, you might want to steer clear of a camper that needs a lift system overhaul or needs a cable replaced.
That could double the price of what you're paying. I mean, if you're looking at a $1,000 camper, all of a sudden you could be looking at a $2,000 camper.
It kind of depends on the manufacturer. Like, for example, Coleman's no longer in business. So to get parts for a Coleman camper is a little bit more difficult than Jayco.
All right, so we're going to check the roof, we're going to check the floor, the lift system, the cables, and the canvas. But we should also kind of make the owner turn things on, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You want to make sure if there's a water pump and a hot water heater and a fresh water tank, you want to make sure that all of those things are working. We were kind of naive when we went into that and didn't ask the owner to fill the fresh water tank. He told us everything was fine. When we got home and filled it, we realized there was a big hole in it. We realized that all of the pipes leaked, so we had to replace all the plumbing.
Oh, no. All right, so water.
He kept it dry for a reason so that we couldn't see if there were any leaks. So, but look for visible signs of leaks, maybe if cabinets look like they have been wet at some point, or there looks like there has been water damage underneath the sink to the floor or the cabinets.
Or on curtains or bed cushions, you also mentioned on your checklist, like those things. So the water damage might have been hidden in some ways, but if you look at the fabric, you might still see the stains. So basically make sure that you fill up the water tank, you run the water, but you also want to plug it in probably, right?
Yes. Yes, and make sure that if you are going to be dry camping and a battery is important to you, make sure that all the wiring works. The owner that we bought ours from told us that the battery was in great shape, that we didn't need to buy a new battery, and when we actually opened up the battery compartment, there was not even a battery in there. So we didn't check those things, and we probably should have. We just got extremely lucky, but you want to make sure that your electrical is working, that your water is working, all those things that you will need when you're camping.
Yeah,
the propane hoses.
Yeah, I mean, it's almost like these people, if they've used this camper, it's okay to almost ask them to do the same type of a walkthrough as you get when you buy from a dealership.
I would want to see every system working. And look, if every system doesn't work, fine, but that needs to be part of the price negotiation.
And we got a really great deal, and while we were there, people were calling trying to buy the camper while we were looking at it, so we felt a little more rushed, and we realized that the deal that we got on this camper, for that deal, we could replace some of these other things. So it wasn't quite as important to us, but if you're paying $3,000, $4,000, you're going to want to make sure that all these things are working, because you're already at the high end of a pop-up camper. You don't want to have to put more money into
it. That's a great tip. And I really think that's so true. If you're at $3,000, $4,000, everything needs to work. You know, if you're looking at something that's $500 or $1,000 and there's things broken.
Fix the canvas.
Go get it fixed. You know, great.
Replace the cushions.
Great tip in terms of thinking about the pricing.
Now, I want to mention one more thing that you had on this checklist that I thought was such a great tip. You said turn on the refrigerator when you first start, you know, checking out all the systems. And then by the end, you know, see if it actually was cooling down.
Yeah, and those are tricky. I mean, pop-up camper fridges never get as cold as you want them to, but you should be able to feel that it is cooling down. In some of the older pop-up campers, if they weren't stored completely level, a lot of times it did damage to the refrigerators. So you want to make sure that it's at least starting to cool down for you. It may not ever get cold within a couple hours, but just to know that it's working. Have them show you how to light the pilot light and to run the fridge on both electric and gas, and make sure that it does work on both.
Yeah. I mean, there is so many things that you just mentioned that are important, and it would be hard for someone listening to remember it all. So I'm really glad that they don't have to, and they really should just print out this checklist and bring it with them. Like, I would bring it.
So many of the things that Larissa has here are just things that, like, you're asking the person to show me how I would set this up at a campground. Show me everything working. You want to see the slide out go out, right? Mm-hmm. Because you're going to have to do that. You want to see the stabilizer jacks go down. It really is like, show me how to camp in this camper.
Yeah.
And honestly, I get so many emails from people who have never camped before, but this is their first foray into the camping world. And so they don't really have much experience with camping at all, let alone with a camper. And so it's always a good idea, if you're in that situation, to have the owner show you how to set everything up, because you may not be familiar with checking the tires and the bearings and, you know, what the lift system and all those things that are second nature to people who have RV'd for a while.
Or bring somebody who camps with you.
Yes.
Yes, that's another
that's a good tip.
Find
I mean,
nice
there are
RVer.
Some there are yeah. some like mobile RV repair guys you could pay a fee to, and they will go and inspect. You know, at these lower price points, you might not want to do that. But certainly when people are looking at more expensive used motorhomes and things like that, they'll have an RV inspector come and look. But if you got a buddy, bring the buddy.
And speaking of a buddy, not all of us do have a buddy. But before we wrap this up, Larissa, do you have a couple of online resources that you just, besides your own, thepopupprincess.com, do you have other places that you would point people to? Again, buying a used pop-up might be a long process where you're kind of like stalking, you know, the information for a while. Where do you recommend online?
You know, I love the pop-up portal. It's popupportal.com, and it's where I started looking at pop-up campers. And it's got a whole forum on there. You can ask questions. There are people that have been pop-up camping for like 40 years. There's some great people on there and lots of good advice. And if you've already purchased your camper and you're looking for help fixing a particular problem, even I go on there and ask questions, and it's awesome. There are a great group of people there that are willing to help. They also have rallies. Depending on the area of the United States that you're in, you can find a rally and meet people who have the same interests, and it's awesome. I love that community.
And where can – oh, no, please, if you have anything else, tell us. I didn't mean to cut you short.
Oh, no, no worries. I also have a couple – there's a pop-up owners group on Facebook and pop-up modifications on Facebook, and they are also great resources for finding – information on pop-up campers, asking questions, same kind of community, great group of people that will answer questions for you, super patient, same questions get asked over and over again, and they still keep answering
them.
Oh,
good. We don't like cranky people. So yeah. That sounds like it's right up our alley.
And where can our listeners find the Pop-Up Princess?
On the blog, thepopupprincess.com, but we're also on Facebook at the Pop-Up Princess. That is our username, and Instagram. And sometimes on Instagram, I've got Facebook makeovers that don't necessarily get featured on the blog, whether the reader didn't have very many pictures or whatever, but we share unique pop-up camper makeovers there that you won't find other places. So it's always a good idea to follow us on Instagram and Facebook.
We love following you on
you're
Instagram.
You're on fire. You're on fire on Instagram. It's a hot account. Be careful when you open it up. You might burn your fingers.
Larissa.
It's fun.
Thank you so much for coming back on the show to do this episode with us. We love your content. We love how you're just supporting people in basically like achieving a dream, because we were there at one point. We had a dream about a pop-up camper for no reason at all. Just it seemed like an awesome thing to do. And we would have done a lot better had we been on your blog before we bought our pop-up camper, which we talk all the time about all the mistakes we made. So people are really lucky to have you sharing all this information.
I don't know. You guys were rock stars. You took twin toddlers in a pop-up camper. I don't know that I would have been brave enough to do that.
No, the whole thing went okay, but mistakes were made.
Oh, but I'm so glad we were pop-up camper owners. Glad we went through that as part of our RV evolution. And
yeah.
We want to use pop-up camper. We want to have one to take on that. Like you said, but off air, like to get to those campgrounds and to those sites where you can't bring a 30-foot travel trailer or a 34-foot toy hauler, you know, to those places that are a little bit more remote, a little little bit quieter. I want one in my driveway. So
right. They're fun.
Larissa, promise us you'll come back on sometime soon.
I will.
Oh, okay.
Thank
we
you
love
so
talking
much for having
to you.
Me.
We'll talk soon.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. We really hope you enjoyed that great interview with Larissa Richardson, a.k.a. the Pop-Up Princess. Lots of great information there. And make sure you go to our show notes and click through to that awesome blog post that she wrote. And the checklist, which really could be like an online tutorial that she charges for. Go check that out now. Now, in this segment, we're going to talk about the alternative. We're just going to talk a little bit about buying a new pop-up camper because we know some of you might want to do that. But first, we have a sponsored message from our friends at Thetford.
Thetford is the industry expert and innovation leader, and they have been making RV travel a more pleasant experience for over 50 years. If you are looking to purchase a pop-up camper, you need one of two products from Thetford. All right, we're giving you a choice here. If your camper does not have a toilet, then you should get one of the Thetford porta potties.
Love it. And we used it for dry camping this winter.
So there are six different options depending on the size that you're looking for and the features. We used the 320p and we used it while dry camping, and it worked perfectly for us. We were like, oh my gosh, this would have been fine with our pop-up. We didn't need
it
to use
it. It is one of
bathroom.
My favorite products of this last year of RVing.
Yeah, because it was like a delightful surprise. Like, wow, a porta potty that
I
like
have to say, it was easy to dump the stuff down into the sewer. It was clean and easy.
Clean.
Well, you wouldn't know. Because you didn't go back there with me.
Nope.
But it really was easy to dump.
All right. Now, if you do have a toilet in your camper and you like to kind of go off and dry camp or, you know, be a little more primitive in state parks and everything that may not have hookups, then you need the Smart Tote too. So you can empty out those, you know, tanks and still stay comfortable and use all the facilities.
Hitch it right back up to the back of your truck and drive it right to the dump station. Or like we saw last summer at Scudic Woods Campground in Maine, you could take your motorcycle, hook up the Smart Tote 2 to the motorcycle and drive it to the dump station.
Right. Or buy a motorcycle so you can drive it.
I actually took the Smart Tote 2 out of the garage today.
Oh,
just checking on it. Just seeing if it was ready for summer.
All right. Well, you can visit Thetford.com to see a complete lineup of products. All right. Now, you know, Larissa was so helpful in really guiding us through all the things that we needed to think about and then look for when purchasing a used pop-up. But we wanted to sort of just round out the episode by closing with some of our just in general pop-up tips that not only we've learned from our own experience, but also from the many, many stories that we're lucky enough to hear from our listeners.
And we want to talk about buying a new pop-up camper because some of you are going to buy a new pop-up camper and just some things to think about for that to really work well for your family. And so you don't feel like it's a mistake a year later.
Number one is something that is really, from my perspective, been frustrating about our RV journey. And this is, I say, do not play the tow vehicle hopscotch game. Now, what I mean by that is by constantly needing to slightly upgrade your tow vehicle in order to then fit the RV that you now want. So if you have a tow vehicle like a minivan or an SUV that can tow a used pop-up camper already, then you don't need to worry about this one. You're not buying a tow vehicle for that used pop-up, and that's awesome. But for those of you that are going out to buy a tow vehicle for a pop-up camper, I want you to think long and hard about that tow vehicle that you buy.
So we bought a Toyota Highlander SUV. And then a year to 2 years after buying that pop-up camper, we wanted a travel trailer. So we also needed a new truck. So I really wished when we bought the pop-up camper, instead of buying that SUV, we had gone straight to the pickup truck with the extra tow capacity.
Yeah. Like, I mean, it's just hard. When you just buy a tow vehicle that can just tow the camper that you want, you're leaving yourself no room to grow. And, you know, let's like go ahead to the next point here, because our next point is that, you know, don't convince yourself that you're not going to be a statistic. Some people aren't statistics.
I hate to say it because it sounds snotty.
It does.
When people say on our forum or anywhere in the RVFTA world, oh, we're going to have this pop-up camper for a long time. I just almost kind of internally laugh a little because we almost don't know anyone who doesn't upgrade very quickly.
Except for Larissa Richardson. But no, seriously, it may be you because it's not 100% of people that upgrade, but it probably won't be you. You will probably be upgrading because most people do. Those are the statistics. So, you know, whenever you're thinking about the money that you're going to spend, the tow vehicle that you're going to buy, just don't be so belligerent that you are not a statistic, that you're not going to fall into that. If you can make a choice that leaves you room to grow in your RV journey, make that choice.
For instance, like we paid $18,500, I think, for our used Toyota Highlander. And then 2 years later, I paid like $23,000 for my first used Silverado pickup truck.
You should have just bought that.
Yeah. When we bought the Highlander, we could have afforded the pickup truck. But mm-hmm. I did not have the foresight to think I need extra tow capacity. Now, look, don't be scared that you might be the person who wants to upgrade, because that just means that you love RVing and that you're into it and you're doing it a lot, mm-hmm. right? And enjoying it.
Yeah. We're just trying to give you the perspective to be able to say, hey, what would it look like if we just gave ourselves some wiggle room to change and grow?
And somebody's got to keep all those people in Elkhart working, right? I mean, RVFTA listeners have to keep upgrading.
And somebody has to keep buying the used campers that everybody wants to sell to trade up. Okay. Now, number three. So that was number one. I said, don't play tow vehicle hopscotch. Number two, don't convince yourself that you won't be a statistic.
Number three, you want to make sure that you don't fall into this trap of getting all the bells and whistles in a pop-up camper and thinking that you need the nicest pop-up camper out there. You know, we spent over $10,000 on our pop-up, and in retrospect, I wish I bought a much cheaper one. We did not need all the fancy-pantsy stuff in that pop-up camper.
At a certain point, if you are trying to cram all of these, like, accessories and amenities into a pop-up, you need to seriously think, why am I buying a pop-up? Like, well, a pop-up should be a tent off the ground, right? Like a comfortable sleeping place. Like, it should not be a travel trailer with canvas ends.
And it's really, to me, it's more about not spending top dollar on one because it's going to depreciate quite quickly. This is one of the pivotal things to learn here. If you buy a $10,000 to $12,000 pop-up camper and you want to sell it a year or two later, it's going to be worth $7,000 or $8,000. And that's painful. Now, if you took out a big loan to pay for that pop-up camper, it's going to be even more painful because the way the loans are structured, just like in the auto industry, is that you're paying the interest first. So you could be paying all interest for the first 2 years of that loan, and you've built no equity in the camper at all. And in fact, you could be $3,000 or $4,000 underwater. How do I know all this?
Yep.
Well, because
it
happened to us.
So what I want to say with that, so if you're looking at the kitchen of the pop-up, like, oh, look, there's a refrigerator and a range, and you're looking at the toilet and the wet bath, and you're like, oh, this is amazing. You need to understand that those are not really kitchens and those are not really bathrooms. Like, it's hard to cook on that range in the pop-up. There's not ventilation in the pop-up like there is in a travel trailer. The refrigerator, I hate to break it to you, it's not really going to keep things super cold. And the wet bath, I'm sorry, you're not going to want to sit on that toilet and shower yourself off. So if you're looking at the kitchen and the bathroom and you're like excited about that, then you really just should be looking at a hybrid.
Or you're excited about the hot water heater. And on ours, it blew out a lot.
Yeah.
It just turned off and on a lot. I just went and relighted and everything.
So go look at a hybrid if those features, and we have pros and cons of a hybrid travel trailer. So go listen to that episode if you're thinking that way. If you want a pop-up, you should be like, ooh, we're going to cook outside, right? And I'm going to shower in the bathhouses. Like, that should be your mentality, I think, for a pop-up.
Another thing to realize, if you're considering spending that $10,000 to $12,000 to $13,000 on a pop-up camper, there are comparable travel trailers at the same price point, right? That's an amazing thing about the industry now. Partly maybe because they don't sell a lot of new pop-up campers, the price is not really that like a bargain price. Where when it comes to the hard-world travel trailer, you can find gorgeous hard-world travel trailers for $10,000, $11,000. I mean, they're small, they're simple, they're straightforward, but make sure you're also looking at those options in the same price range.
All right, number four, our last tip, just if you're really diving into this pop-up game, do not believe that Craigslist is your only option. option. So if you, you know, are a little nervous about the Craigslist thing and you feel like you need more support, right? More knowledge in your corner. You don't really know what you're looking for when you're inspecting the camper. You've never had a camper before. Dealers have some used and nearly new pop-ups. And is it going to be a little more to buy from the dealer than off of Craigslist? Probably. But with that, you're going to get support, education, and service.
And you might be able to get a warranty. You know, right. Depending on how you negotiate and how old the pop-up camper is, the dealer might sell you a warranty for a used one, which I would really like.
Yeah. And even just like getting the walkthrough, all that stuff that you might get at a little bit of higher level than you will if you show up into somebody's yard
and you start building that relationship with the dealer so that when you go to buy the travel trailer in 2 years, you know, they might give you a bit of a better price on the trade-in because you bought it for them. Believe it or not, those things do happen.
Yeah. So those are just, we just wanted to round off the episode with some of that, like real quick, good old pop-up advice from people that have been there, done that, and happy to have learned from the experience, and also happy that you all share your stories with us so we can continue to help other people as they go through that journey. So thanks for
that. If you're shopping for a used pop-up camper or a new pop-up camper, hop onto our Facebook group, RVFT The Group. Drop us a note. Show us some pictures of things you're looking at. You'll get some great responses
and some
great advice.
I know. Yeah, we love to see that. Thank you so much to our sponsors, Jayco. Visit jayco.com to see a complete lineup of their products, including their J-Sport, right? Which is their really cute little
pop-up camper I would buy.
And also thank you to the Thetford Corporation, who's providing porta-johns for people in those, or porta-potties, I should say. It's like a festival toilet. For people that are thinking about getting those pop-up campers.
And from Cabela's and Highway West Vacations and Outdoorsy. So we will see you next week, and hopefully we'll see you at the campground.
See you at the campground.